Hi everyone, welcome back to the Getting Deeper with God podcast. My name is Phumzile Mqanyana, and in today's episode, I am not alone. My sister is joining me today. So before we get into anything, I'm just going to allow this beautiful woman, this gorgeous girl, to introduce herself so that you guys can like be comfortable with her, because you know, you guys don't know her.
Hi, Getting Deeper With Him family. I am so excited to be here. Like Phumi said, I am Kamogelo Ledwaba, and I am so excited to be having these conversations with you. She's going to introduce the conversations, you know. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So yeah, so guys, in today's episode, we'll be speaking about all things singleness, relationships, godly dating, boundaries, you know, purity, celibacy, all of that. So we're going to be having that conversation, and I hope you guys can like relate, and I hope you guys can learn a thing or two from this conversation that I'll be having with my sister. So let's get into it. Singleness. What advice do you have for singles out there who may be like waiting for the one? By the way, Kamo's in a relationship, guys, so yeah, you'll decide if you want to take, you know, it's not easy taking advice from a person who's in a relationship. Like, what do you know? You don't understand. You don't, you know, but yeah, but anyway, what advice do you have for people who are single?
Well, first of all, changing your perspective of what singleness actually is, you understand? So I think for me, the struggle with singleness was the fact that I looked at it wrong, right? And so with that said, the advice that I would give a single is that change your perspective and really get an understanding of what the season is, what it entails, and what it is about. You know, don't just go along with the status quo, what you know about singleness and what you've heard. Yes, you've heard, but really start asking questions, you understand? And really be honest.
What questions should they be asking in their season of singleness?
Well, the question is that you ask yourself in your single season is that, you know, am I doing this to meet the right one? You understand what I'm saying? And I think for me, that's where you get it wrong the first time. You think your single season is to be for someone else. And in this life, you are being for God. You understand? So with that, the kind of questions you need to ask is, God, what did you create me to do here on the earth? You understand what I'm saying? I know that you've heard people say purpose, of which is true. You understand what I'm saying? Like, really asking God, when you created me, what did you have in mind? I love what Dr. Cindy Trim said about, she said that I am a piece of the master. So I am a reflection of some part of God, and I need to be the trueness and the fullness of that reflection of God. So in that, those are the questions that you need to be asking in your season of singleness, and also asking God as well. I don't think that there's nothing wrong with asking him as well, Uguti, who do you have in store for me and everything? What is your understanding of being, you know, in a relationship? What did you have in mind when people are together? You understand? So those are the kind of questions that I believe you should ask. Don't hold back when it comes to God and even people, you understand, that you trust.
Thank you so much for that.
So Pums,
yeah,
because you're like, I may not understand because now I'm in a relationship, you're still single. Guys, by the way, whoever is coming, to want my sister, you must pass by me first, all right? Since you're still like, you know, single and everything, what advice would you give a single, actually?
Honestly speaking, like you were saying, your season of singleness, yes, a part of it is to prepare you for marriage. It is to prepare you for, you know, for your future spouse, whatever. But like, that's not the ultimate reason why you are single. I'm not single so that I can be prepared for marriage. I am single so that, you know, and that's the thing. I think we should refrain from identifying ourselves as I'm being single or I'm single, but like, you should actually identify yourself as a child of God. That is your ultimate identity, that you are a child of God. Before I am single, I am a child of God. Before I am a student, I am a child of God. Before I am a doctor, I am a child of God. So there are certain things that do give your identity labels, but understand that your identity is solid in Christ and in him alone. So my advice for single people is that do not try to unfold something that God is sealing on purpose. you know, because, you know, then it means that you are going outside of the will of God. If you are still single, it is the will of God, and he deems that good.
Mm.
You know, he deems that necessary.
Mm.
So you have to see it as necessary. You have to see it as good that God wants me to be alone for this time of my life. Mm. Therefore, there are certain things that I need to be focusing on. There are certain things that should be unfolding in my life. There are certain things that I should be tackling instead of like trying to find out why am I single? You know, God has favorites. No, you know, that area of your life, being in a relationship, being married, it's sealed and God will open it when he deems it necessary. So first things first, submit to what God has placed in your life. Be in agreement with the seasons that God is placing you in. Be in agreement. Accept. Jesus says that those who accept first and then obey my commandments are those that love me. So there needs to be an acceptance of what God is commanding you to do. You have to be in agreement. When it is God's desire for you to be single, it also has to be your desire to be single. Because then you will never encounter peace when you are disagreeing with what God is saying is necessary for you. So once you agree that, you know what, it is necessary for me to be single, then you will start having peace and you will start seeing why it is necessary for you to be single. And let me tell you something, singleness is not a curse. If you go on Twitter and you go into the world and, you know, you allow people to feed you what they think singleness is, that is when you start being discontent. You have to see it as a gift. Whatever season that God has placed you in, he deems it good. Therefore, it is a gift. It is to benefit you and you need to find out why am I in this season? So I think that, yeah, accepting the will of God, if it is, if his will for you right now is to be single, accept it. It's easier to obey with love, and it's easier to obey with with love when you accept what Jesus is requiring of you. Do you want to add anything
and
to
the
that?
Word of God says that, you know what, he will not withhold any good thing from you. So because God will not withhold any good thing from you, the fact that you are single, and as you were saying, it's good. It's good. What God wants for me has been specifically made for me. And so with that, I have to be content. That's all.
Definitely, yeah. So my next question for you, Kami, is that what boundaries do you think singles should place in their lives? In order to make sure that, you know, you're not slipping up, that you are not going outside of the will of God. Because I do feel that as a single person, you need boundaries, especially if you know that this is what God wants from me. You know, God, the devil is going to send like counterfeits. He is going to tempt you, and you need boundaries in order to conquer that temptation. So what boundaries would you, do you think that single people need to place? Or what boundaries did you place in your life as a single person, or wished that you placed in your life as a single person?
Yeah, that's a heavy question, actually.
Really?
And those are the questions that you actually need to be asking. Understand? So with that, the boundaries that you should have when it comes to your single season is based on your life. Honestly speaking, and what God wants for you. Understand what I'm saying? It is so important to be transparent and to be truthful with what you are struggling with in your season of singleness. And really be truthful with where you are at. One of the boundaries that I needed to set for myself in my season of singleness is around my feelings and emotions. My feelings were damaged. The way that I saw things was completely wrong. I kept sharing of myself, not realizing that what I'm sharing is that truly who I am. Do you understand what I'm saying? In your season of singleness, I really think that you should have a boundary on who has access to your feelings, who has access to your emotions. And with that said, don't just pour out anything to anyone. Don't just pour out anything to anyone, because here is the thing. Because I did not set that boundary on my feelings and emotions, now I'm pouring out this person that I supposedly am. Now I'm held back by that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It prevents me from moving because I'm like, this is who I am. Clearly, this is who I am. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whereas that's a lie. Straight from the pit of hell. It's just that I was not aware of who God says I am in my, you know, in my season of singleness and in my life in general. The word of God says that everything has been restored back to its original innocence, back to Jesus Christ, meaning that my emotions have been restored back to the way God has set them to operate in the first place. And because I didn't have that boundary, I let anything in, anything out. Mm. You understand? So really the boundary is around your feelings, around your emotions. That's something that I struggled with. Mm. And my mind as well. And you know what? I'm going to talk about this further when we, you know, dive into, you know, purity and stuff like that all those things. So, but really, if we're being quite honest, the soul, you really need to have boundaries more when it comes to your soul.
Mm.
No cap, and your mind.
Yeah. You know, in terms of boundaries, I think boundaries are so important. I think, you know, we lie or we convince ourselves that I'm going to start having boundaries when I'm dating someone. Mm. Not understanding that how the way that you're single plays a huge role in your marriage, and it plays a huge role in your relationship or your courting, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, it's so important that you practice those boundaries now. And there are certain things that the Holy Spirit is going to highlight to you in your season of singleness, you know. So let's say part of your season of singleness, it is the preparation, like I said, not all of it, part of it, it is the preparation. And with the preparation comes, you know, with the boundaries that the Holy Spirit is literally telling you to like enforce. You know, he's showing you that, you know, you are struggling with this, you are struggling with that. And I think, like you were saying, the first boundary is to guard your heart as a single person. Guard your heart. And, you know, this is what I struggled with. You know, I always thought that every single relationship or every single guy that came could be like a potential person, and that is not guarding your heart. Because yes, you could meet the right guy, you could meet a good guy, but you know, just because he's a good guy does not mean that that is what God wants for you. You know, so you want to make sure that you are being with someone that God wants for you, not someone because he's just a great guy. It means nothing. You know, I read a tweet that said that being equally yoked is way, it has a lot to do with just him and I being Christian. Just him being a great guy, you know. It has to be the person that God wants for me. So I think the boundary is to guard your heart. Don't be sharing yourself with people you are not meant to be sharing yourself with. Don't allow people to see parts of you that were only reserved for your husband, your future husband, or your future wife. So you have to set that boundary around your heart, and it's difficult. It is not easy. But once you accept, once you are in knowledge or in understanding of God wants for you, you know, it is easier for you to put that boundary. You can easily recognize, that's not what God wants for me. And that's the thing. You have to be familiar with the presence of God. You have to be familiar with how God is speaking to you. Part of the ways of setting boundaries is spending time in the presence of God, because his peace alone will tell you. You know, the Holy Spirit was telling me that my peace says something. My lack of peace is still saying something. And so the problem is that we value emotions and feelings more than we value the peace of God, more than we value his lack of peace. I'm not feeling the peace of God in this relationship or in this potential fling, but you know what, I'm feeling this guy, therefore that is good enough for me to keep pursuing it. And that's wrong. You know, the peace of God or his lack of peace should be your final deal breaker, that, you know, I'm not feeling the peace of God, therefore I will not continue to pursue this relationship. So I think the boundary, the first boundary, is just guarding your heart, you know, putting measures around your heart, being in the presence of God so that you know what God sounds like, having those conversations with God so that you know what his voice would sound like in the context of dating, so that you know what his voice would sound like in the context of courtship, you know. So a lot of us, we are trapped in religion that you don't have those conversations with God about God and everything, you know. You are not free to have those conversations with the Holy Spirit, therefore you don't know what his voice actually sounds like when it comes to relationships. You don't know what his voice actually sounds like when it comes to dating, and then you keep, like, you know, using your mind and using your emotions to dictate, and then it's like it ends in tears.
I love what you said about being in the presence of God to know his will for your life, and then being able to recognize what's not of him. You understand? It's so, so, so important to know the will of God for your life. And it's good.
Yes. Like, it's for your own good to know what the will of God is for your life.
So basically what I'm hearing, you, the practical step ultimately altogether is be in the presence of God.
And like you were saying, like, don't be afraid to have those conversations with God, to say, you know what, God, what does it look like?
Yeah.
You know, what mm-hmm. does it look like? What does courtship look like?
Mm.
What does it look like to be ready to be in a relationship? What does the right guy look like even for me? Like, what does it look like, you know?
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit begins to whisper. And, you know, as he begins to whisper, you kind of don't settle because you've had that conversation with him. He's shown you, he's told you what it looks like, what the right guy looks like. So you can easily, like, just point out that that's not for me or that's not for me. And also, guys, common sense. Compatibility. Just because he's Christian does not make him your guy. You know, you guys have to be compatible. And, like, you know yourself. You know, study yourself. Know what you like. Know what you don't like. And, you know, that's easier to kind of, like, see if, you know, I'm talking to this guy. I actually don't like. For me, I can't be with someone who's not funny. You know, it might sound petty, but hey!
It is.
Laughing is my love language. I'm always laughing. So if I'm going to be with someone who's not funny, who's always taking everything seriously, he might be great. He might be a great guy in the Lord, and he knows about the angels and Angel Gabriel and whatnot. Yeah. But a little thing is him making me laugh. That's for me. I'm like, I can't, you know, because that's how I receive love. Exactly. I love humor.
And let's just make this so clear. It's really so important to not try to duplicate someone else's relationship, someone else's journey, and someone else's walk. The Holy Spirit was telling me the other day, Uguti, do you not see that I am doing a new thing? Do you not see that I am doing a new thing? So for me, God will not duplicate the results, another person's relationship.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And I am not looking to a person. Yes, I am inspired by that. But I want what God wants for me. It has been set. God has planned, fashioned out my life for me, and I'm going to walk in it. You must walk in it. I don't want what you have.
Yeah.
I don't want your person. I don't want you to want my person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want your life to really reflect what God has for you and what he has had in store for you. So this thing of duplicating results and just taking things and making them your own is so wrong. You understand? Because the Holy Spirit is like, you, even my mom was saying, you will be credited for genuine faith. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. I think it's so dangerous, especially, like, even in church, and you see, like, your leader, and maybe your leader is married or whatever, and you want to duplicate that relationship, not understanding, you know, their own journey and what they had to go through, whatever. You know, there's nothing wrong with being inspired, but there's everything wrong with now taking someone else's journey and making it your own, as though God did not give you your own journey, as though God did not give you, as though the Holy Spirit did not give you strategies that you can use in your life in order to conquer. So it's very important that you go into the prayer closet, and then you ask God what it looks like for you, and you don't hear him from a place of what you think God would sound like, but you hear him from a place of what he actually wants for you. You know, just because your leader married a pastor does not mean that you have to marry a pastor, you know. And I know at church they sell that, they sell men in ministry, but you know what? At the end of the day, it is what God wants for you. And God knows your marriage already. He knows how things are going to end. He knows the future children that you're going to have and the generations that are to come. And, you know, everything that he, you know, the spouse that he chooses for you, everything has been strategically placed. Then you want to make sure that you follow the plan of God. You know, the plan of God is the one that is good, not the plan that God had for your leader. So if you take that plan that God had for your leader and they are espousing, imposing on yourself, you know, it might not align with your, you know, the plan that God has for your life. That is the plan that is good, the plan that will give you a future and a hope, not the plan that you think should look like, not the plan that you think would look like, you know. So it's very important that really you hear God for yourself. You hear God for yourself, even if you are dating right now, and, you know, really stop putting unnecessary pressure on your partner to try and be this, you know, to try and be that. Maybe, you know, he's not too involved in church, or, you know, he's not fruitful. Fruitful according to what? Who are you to decide what the fruit that God wants him to bear in his life should look like? It's not up to you. It's not up to you. So you need to, you know, you need to really, if you are going to be with someone, don't try to change them. Because you are trying to have them look like your leader's wife or your leader's girlfriend or your leader's boyfriend. That's wrong. You know, that's wrong. And your marriage is in trouble if you think like that.
Come on with it.
Anyway.
This is good.
I hope I'm not preaching, guys. I said I was not going to preach. Okay, so we're gonna go to godly dating. Godly dating. What does that look like?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Godly
dating. What would you think it looks like?
Wow, godly dating, honestly speaking. God was telling me this the other day about the person that I'm with.
Yo, guys, good about to get it gone, girl. Wait, king. Guys, I've been single for 4 years. If you know a brother,
No.
I'm just kidding. I was
they
gonna
must pass by me, actually.
Yo, imagine. Now I want to make my own decision because I know what I want.
I know what God wants for me. Damo, leave me alone. Godly dating for me. I pray about this a lot when it comes to my relationship. The Holy Spirit was telling me that you love someone and you are in a godly relationship when you love them in reverence of who I am.
Wow.
In respect of who I am.
Wow.
It's like before he is anything, before you are anything, like you were saying earlier on, you are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, man, the world already has an identity attached to certain things.
Sure.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so when you take that and make it your own... guys, you're gonna be
done.
In the deep waters. You're gonna be in the deep waters. You understand? Godly relationshiping looks like loving someone in reverence of God, in respect of God, meaning that you seek the face of God regarding that person's life. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that I'm with the person that I, you know, God has set for me because of the fact that I get insight into his life. I get specific and accurate steps in how to love him. Love is precise. Don't ever think that it's aimless.
Yo,
don't ever think that. God is a God of order.
Sure.
Don't ever think that. So you love someone with precision, not how someone told me I should love him. Not how someone told me I should. No, you need
some
to no
stuff.
You need to
you need to nothing.
God said yes. You need to do what I am instructing you to do. And even in our friendship phase, I remember I was so mad at him for something. Yo, mingwatila. I'm like, God, lo muntu yazine. He's mad, actually. He's crazy. And then he's like, if you think that you care about someone and what you are doing and your intention is good, you would know all the more that I care about them more than you ever will. So love them the way I have said for you to love them.
Yeah.
That is the best way to love someone, with precision. You understand? So that's what godly relationships look like for me, a godly relationship looks like for me.
Yeah. You know what, so dating is not in the Bible. Right? It's not in the Bible, and it really isn't in the Bible. It really isn't in the Bible, and the people in the Bible, how they did things is completely different to this generation and all of that. And so it's like we've had movies to show us what it would look like. We have Twitter standards to show us what it would look like. But now the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit as children of God. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit does not speak his own, but he speaks what he hears from the Father, and he will lead us to all truth. Even pertaining courtship, dating, whatever, the Holy Spirit will give us the truth of what that would look like in our lives. And so one of the main things that the Holy Spirit ministered to me about dating and all of that, he was like, first and foremost, you guys need to be equally yoked. You need to be equally yoked. Like, it's not even funny. Like, the equal, you know, I attended some training and there was a conversation of, is it okay to be with someone who is not a believer? And I was like, no. I said, no, it's not even funny. Because let me tell you why. I'm against these blessings that supposedly make us happy but do not glorify God. I'm with this guy and our relationship is not advancing the kingdom of God whatsoever. There is no purpose in the relationship whatsoever. God is not receiving glory from the relationship whatsoever, because first of all, the relationship is violating his word. He makes me happy. He makes me feel good.
She makes me
feel good. And it's like, what's the purpose? What good is it to be in a relationship that is based on love but has no purpose? Because if I am born again and you are not born again, the vision is different. The purpose is already divided.
Come on,
and now it's like, oh, I can win him to, I can change him, I can change him. Listen, you are not discipling this person. You guys are in a relationship, pouring into each other. There is no way they are not going to water down your flames for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way. It's different when you are discipling that person, because the foundation, or rather the purpose, is clear, that I'm taking you out of darkness to light. Mm-hmm. But when we are dating, we are heading to being one.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm believing in God and you are not believing in God. How does that work? So he was telling me that the first and foremost, you need to be equally yoked with that person. And secondly, you know what? In as much as it sounds heavy or whatever, ask those questions.
Mm.
Have difficult questions. Ask the person if they're celibate. Hey, guys, you will...
you get the shock.
You are... someone once told me that sex before marriage, it's a personal thing. Like, you know,
what kind of a thing? It's an opinion.
Exactly. Someone was like, no, they think that it's personal, like, you know, you will feel it in the relationship when you have to take that next step. And I'm looking at this person and I'm like, what? Yeah,
we're the standard guys. Like, darkness does not understand light
ever.
Darkness does not comprehend light.
Do
you understand what I'm saying? Like, yo, I think we were speaking about this the other day when you were talking about how when Michael was sent to Mary, right? Mary was like, how do I know? You know, I'm paraphrasing here. You see where you come from. And if you are from God, that is, I stand in the presence of God. So someone who does not stand in the presence of God, by the way, darkness is like the direct opposite of light. So someone who is not where you are in the presence of God, what can you give them and what can they give you?
Because it's two completely different worlds.
Honestly.
You have nothing to offer and they have nothing to offer. Because it's two different worlds. And I mean, like, okay, it's different if the guy is willing. I still wouldn't encourage it if you're dating a baby Christian. But if you happen to be and he's willing to grow, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you are dating a complete non-believer, someone who believes in the universe and, you know, and the stars and the moon, and they believe in a higher power.
And they're manifesting.
And they're manifesting. Our guys, come on. I really wouldn't encourage dating a baby Christian, but if it so happens, it is an opportunity for you to somehow win them to Christ. But, you know, I don't
just know that you are not that person's savior.
Yeah.
You must know that 100%. And I actually, like, was telling the person that I'm with, Gutsi, there is nothing that I wouldn't love you through, and I want to. The areas of your life that don't know love, you understand? I want to introduce that love to you. And God is like, no. Every area of your life must be introduced to my love first. You supplement it.
Yeah, that's true.
You supplement that love. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the precision that I'm talking about, that God, you know, was telling me about. Love with precision, guys. And please understand, you're not perfect. Stop thinking that you're perfect, hey? And thinking that you know it all. You understand what I'm saying? Allow yourself, you know, to be corrected and to be led and to be directed. You understand? Like, that's really, really important. I think that's where the misconception comes in, where people think Ugutsi Christians are know-it-alls. Christians are people who have been saved by grace, who understand that I cannot do this thing on my own.
And they still need to work at their own salvation and trembling actually, in fear.
Naya Cerise posted this, Ugutsi, how can you start off a life now, your spiritual life, and think that you can finish it off in flesh?
Paul calls it foolish. But yes, so yes, guys, as we're saying, boundaries and godly dating, ask those difficult questions. You need to ask the person, hey, dude, are you celibate? When was the last time you had sex? Because, guys, you know these niggas. Umuntumbuzo, are you celibate? Ati, yes. Uti, when was the last time you had sex? Ati, last week. Like.
How does that work?
Are you kidding me? You know? And also, it's so important. Hey, guys, you see, that's the thing. It's so important not just to hear what the person is saying, but to observe their life. Test the spirit in their lives, you know? First of all, see the leaders that they are submitted under. Whichever leader that you're submitted under, it says a lot about you. See the church. Don't be naive, hey? Yes, he's cute and everything. And when someone is cute, those red flags, now they start looking orange.
There are no flags at all,
you know? So I honestly think that, honestly speaking, you know, like, use your spiritual eye. This is the person you could potentially marry. This is the person you could potentially be pouring yourself into. Romantic relationships, dating relationships are way more intimate than friendship relationships, you know, because just a lot goes in there. So use your spiritual eye, like really test the spirit. And I'm not saying like interrogate them and be weird about it or whatever, but at the same time at the same time, don't be gullible and don't be like, oh, you know, abona ko pele. What if it ends in tears, go pele? Whereas you could have no, what if it ends in tears, go pele? You know, you don't know that. You know, really ask those difficult questions. Ask them if they tithe. Guys, do you want to marry someone who doesn't tithe when you know what the Bible says about not tithing? Do you want to really do that to
you? Do you want
to
go there?
Do you want to go there? Ask them if they tithe. And obviously, like I said, like, you're not being weird about it, whatever. But these are the things that are coming up. These are conversations that are coming up. Ask the person, how's your relationship with your parents? If I don't know, I hate my mom. I hate my... I never... It means that they struggle with forgiveness. They struggle with bitterness. And someone who's struggling with forgiveness and bitterness, you have no place being in a relationship whatsoever. Because those things require... forgiveness must be your second name.
Yep.
It must be second nature to you. So if you're still struggling with forgiveness and bitterness and whatnot, you know, you have no place being in a relationship. You get what I'm saying?
And don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about what you're struggling with.
Yeah, like I said, don't feel bad about like what you are struggling with, whatever. Just understand where you are at and accept that and work on it, you know. Just because now you're bitter or you are like not forgiving, what it doesn't mean that now, you know, you're not worthy, whatever. But like, in my eyes, you have no place being in a relationship if you're still struggling with forgiveness and you know, and bitterness and all of that. So yeah, obviously there's a whole lot of boundaries, but yeah, ask the questions, you know. Be very intentional. It requires so much intention, guys. You know, it's so much more than dates and whatnot. Although they are important, they are very important. Please don't ask me out if you're not gonna take me out on dates. Like, what are we doing? They are important, but there's other things that are importanter. That's a word. So, yeah. What boundaries would you place in terms of keeping the purity in a relationship?
Purity, guys, is not just, you know, abstaining from sex or something. Do you understand?
No.
Just, let's just make that clear from, you know, disatlwale panting. Ubuthi, hey, guys, I really thought that purity was just a matter of the fact that I'm abstaining from sex. I mean, like, what's the big deal? You understand what I'm saying? If we don't have sex, we're fine.
No, we're not.
There is no such thing as... actually quite funny.
Wow,
come on. Yo, dude, because the thing is, it's deception. The Holy Spirit is like, you don't know what to do because you don't ask questions, and when you ask questions and I give you an answer, you pretend like you understand.
Hectic.
You really pretend like you understand. It's okay if you don't understand. You understand. So with that said, for me to keep, like, you know, my purity and also his purity as well, it's very important to pray and also set time aside for fasting and praying as well, and really being truthful with where you are, guys. You understand what I'm saying? Stop lying and saying you're not attracted to your partners. You guys, like,
guys, attraction is a thing. If you're attracted to someone, those hormones
and it's like they're gonna call them, and it's like that. And honestly speaking, it's just, for me, something about the fact that we are doing the same thing in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the first thing that attracted me to him in the first place. And it's like, with the physical aspect of it, people are like, it's there. But now comes the trick of managing it.
Yeah.
You need to be able to manage that. You understand? I'm not saying go to manage it, go to ulale no mundu now. No. Manage it properly. Pray. May God renew your mind. And I know that my mind had to be renewed. And I was telling the Holy Spirit as well, the thoughts that I would have. You understand what I'm saying? Graphic thoughts that would just pop up. Guys, this is... true.
We're being honest.
Things that you actually go through. You honestly understand what speaking. I'm saying? I think I should, like, make it clear as well that I, like, you know, I'm not a virgin and stuff. And
okay.
With that, there's a lot of controversy. That's a whole other
conversation. Guys, let us know if you want like a part two.
You understand? Like, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. So with that, I have been bound to other people. My soul has been tied to other people because I'm a spiritual being having a bodily experience, just by the way. You understand? So with that said, my thoughts, the things that would happen to me as well, and the consequence of sin. The actual consequence of sin. So keeping that purity and now being in a relationship with him, it's a matter of now praying and fasting, travailing in the spirit. What I know for sure and what I have said for myself and for the person that I, you know, is gonna be with is to make sure that I don't get married to this person in a state is not appropriate. He doesn't deserve that. May you look at them like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? This person, God loves this person. You understand? And God loves you as well. So to manage that for me is fasting and praying and travailing in prayer. Like, no cap. You understand? So that's how I, you know, keep the purity. When you get out of something, you need to come into something else. You understand? Wow. I'm coming out of that mentality of the fact that you think Uguti just because like you love someone, the reflection of that love in this season is not allow him. Just, you know, hope it's spicy. No. So coming out of that, I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what exactly and how exactly should I be looking at him? And when you see him as my temple, and because you have fellowship with me, you will respect him so much.
Amen.
So for you, Mapom, what advice would you give to people to be able to manage their period? And what are you doing right now? Because you know the devil, the feelings.
Guys, I hope you all hate the devil over here. I hope we are all on the same page that we don't like that chint.
That egg,
yeah. Okay, but you know what, guys? For me, I think that purity, if you manage purity properly in your singleness or abstinence in your singleness, then in the relationship as well, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think that it's not going to be as difficult. So for me, because I'm not in a relationship, I'm single. I'm still a virgin, by the way, and it's really by the grace of God, guys. Please, hey, don't even let's praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. You know, so I'm just gonna say that for me, the first boundary was the actual Word of God. Well, not the boundary, but the first thing that helped me to be, is it celibate or abstain?
Both.
To be both, to abstain and to be celibate, was the Word of God. So it started immediately when I got born again. I took the Bible and I wasn't saying, okay, what is God saying to the world? I took the Bible and I was like, okay, Pumi, when you read this, this is what God wants from you. And part of that was that sex before marriage is a sin. So I took that and I made it mine. I accepted that will. And I was like, okay, Lord, your desire is going to be my desire, you know? And that's the thing. When you say you believe in Jesus Christ, you know, you have to ask yourself, what does that mean? What does it look like? When I say I believe in Jesus Christ, I allow him to lord over me. He's now my Lord and Savior. So what that means is that now, you know, I am actually going into a new way of living. I am adopting the lifestyle of the kingdom because I believe in this man. So whatever that he says, I am following. Whatever that he thinks, I am adopting that thinking pattern. So, you know, some people are going to be like, you know, and that's what he says in the book of John 14. He says, those who believe in me will do the very same works that I did. And he is showing us what believing in him actually means, what it looks like. It looks like adopting his way of doing things, that, you know, this man is coming to me and he's telling me that he is the way, the truth and the life. Therefore, that is my belief as well. His desires are my desires. I am adopting his heart and I am seeing the world the way he sees it. I am adopting his version of holiness. It becomes my version, you know. So you can't just say, I believe in Jesus, then what? When you believe in him, it means that now you are one, you know, you adopt his ways, you know. So one of his ways was actually sex before marriage. So I was like, okay, Pumi, this is how, you know, your Lord and your Savior wants you to live. And I took that and I was like, it was like, you know, I didn't make it a big deal. I didn't make it a big come, you're an idiot. I didn't make it a big deal. Sex before marriage. No, it was like normal. It's okay, we're not having sex before marriage. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, okay, I took that. Now, they were... Guys, when you go to varsity night, let me tell you. I'm not going to sit here and say it was roses.
Yeah.
And
battle.
But it wasn't like too much. That's the thing, I didn't like magnify it. Mm-hmm. I didn't make it more than what it was. Yes, mm-hmm. there were temptations. Yes, I was in places that I was not supposed to be in, and things almost happened, but they didn't, you know, because I had mm-hmm. already made up my mind. I was like, mm-hmm. this is not happening. Mm-hmm. Forget it. It's not happening, you know. So I think the first thing was just to accept that this was the will of God. This is what God wants, and I have the Holy Spirit within me helping me, and I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible to abstain. I can do it. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, the things that you watch, the music that you listen to, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be careful of that. Don't be watching movies with intense sex scenes and think that, you know, every that's not happening. You know, and prayer, like Kamu was saying, prayer. Jesus even tells his disciples that pray so that you may not be tempted. Mm. So prayer, I was always in prayer. And not praying for that aspect, but I was just always praying mm-hmm. and being mm-hmm. in communion with the Holy yeah. Spirit, being mm-hmm. in communion with God and all of that. So I think now, like, the discipline aspect is quite strong that, you know, I think that should I get into a relationship, I will be strong to say, it's just not happening, dude. Mm-hmm. Just wait for the wedding night. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. So I think, yeah, just the word of God. And yeah. So I think that's it, Tine, because the podcast, it's like 40 minutes now.
Ah, we're good. Yeah.
If you want a part two, guys, let us know. But yeah, so thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you so much to Kamu for joining us and, you know, dropping some wisdom, some knowledge.
Thank you for having me, my sister. It was really a good time.
It was really great. It was great. Okay, guys, thank you guys so much. I will see you guys on my next episode. Bye.